Precious Savior, we rejoice at your birth because we know that you came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. We look beyond the manger to the cross, where your precious blood was shed to cover our sins from God's sight forever. Bless our faith this day as we stand in reverent awe before your manger bed, contemplating the mystery of your incarnation. And again, as we bow our heads in humble contrition, confessing our sins before your cross. May we never lose sight of the cross as the purpose for your coming. As we reach out our hearts to you in loving adoration and in penitence and trust, forgive all our sins, quicken us with hope, settle us with peace, and renew in us the joys of everlasting life. We worship and serve you, our Savior and King. Our first prophecy is recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah. We read in chapter 7, the 13th and 14th verses. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." And then we read of the fulfillment of that prophecy in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is God's word. Our hymn following this prophecy and fulfillment, 707, is in the gray worship supplement, number 707. The prophecy of our second lesson also is recorded in the book of Isaiah, reading those familiar words in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Then continuing the fulfillment in Luke's gospel, those familiar first words of Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The word of the Lord. Isaiah, once again, in our third lesson, continuing in chapter 9, reading earlier verses 2 to 4. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And then continuing in Luke 2 at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The word of the Lord. The Bible was, as we've seen, very specific about things concerning the Savior's birth. We continue now seeing that even the place of his birth was prophesied by the prophet Micah in chapter 5, reading there verses 2 to 5. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." And continuing in Luke 2 at verse 15. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. In the fifth lesson, we read about the star of his appearing that the Magi followed. The prophecy is recorded in Numbers chapter 24, reading verses 15 to 17. Then he spoke his message. The prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eye sees clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. In the fulfillment, we shift now to the Gospel of St. Matthew, reading the first 5 verses of chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." The word of the Lord. Nothing's new today as evil challenges Christ and the church. It was true also right from the beginning of Jesus' birth. So we read the prophecy of that in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And then continuing in the Gospel of Matthew. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. The word of our Lord. We read of the prophecy of the triumph of his grace in 1 Peter in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. This somewhat sums up all the things that we've been looking at to this point. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. And for the fulfillment, we turn to the letter to the Hebrews, reading in chapter 1, 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. The word of the Lord. to you. Please stand for prayer. We'll join in the responsive prayer. On this holy day, dear Father, we rejoice to hear the good news of great joy that a Savior has been born for us. We give you heartfelt thanks for the fulfilling of your prophecies and in the fullness of time sending your Son to be our Savior. What a great mystery of faith this is, that God became a man to be our Savior. Even though wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger, he still is the all-powerful Lord of all, who willingly and lovingly became fully human. We grieve that many in the world do not know Jesus has come to bring them forgiveness and healing. As the shepherds spread abroad the good news of Jesus' birth, may we also make use of the many opportunities this holiday presents to tell others what we have seen and heard concerning the child. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As the angels sang out their praise, move us also to sing out our praise to you, not just today, but every day, as the joy of Christmas remains in our hearts. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated, and we'll stand for the singing of the last stanza of our closing hymn. Please be seated. Again, we welcome our visitors who are with us this morning. Please come back and worship with us again. Just like to thank our soloist, Joyce Washburn, for her beautiful singing this morning, and Nan Furch for her playing all of the hymns this morning so well. God's blessings, safe travels, enjoy your family and friends as we celebrate our Savior's birth.